We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Come to tell somebody, oh, no, no, he won't fail. Somebody said, no, he won't fail. But he's right. He's right on time.
Won't fail.
Try it for myself, and I know no, 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 no.
Won't fail.
He's a doctor in the sick room, a lawyer in a courtroom.
Won't fail.
Let me welcome every one of you to our worship experience this morning. We are grateful that you take out of your busy schedule to be in the house of the Lord. We welcome all of you that are live streaming with us, whether you're local or statewide or national. We just want to say thank you for joining us this morning. Amen. Somebody says good. Say, I was glad when they said unto me, Let's come to the house of the Lord. Thanks to all of our guests. We're grateful to our city councilman, our brother Joe Fuller in the house. All of you ministers of the gospel, we thank you for being here. Thanks for those of you who prayed with us this morning. We need every bit of prayer. And let me also say thank you to all of you that help us to celebrate our church anniversary this past Sunday. We are grateful to all of you for your faithfulness. If you have your Bible with you, will you please open it to the book of St. John, chapter 19, verse number 30. Let me encourage you to stand with me if you're able to. The book is St. John. The chapter is 19. And the verse is 30. The Bible said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for another day's journey. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to this house. Thank you for all the families that are here. Thank you for those who are live streaming. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you, to worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to learn from the Word of God. We just ask that you have your way in this place this morning. Use me as a channel of blessing to your people. Glorify yourself in this house. Let this worship experience be another experience of miracle. And Lord, we pray for souls to be saved. We pray for lives to be changed. We pray for healing to take place in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you for a few minutes before we take the Holy Communion this morning, a very familiar subject titled, It is Finished. Let me remind all of us that was a statement made by Jesus Christ. In Greek, it means tetelestai. Ladies and gentlemen, that word tetelestai means paid in full. To the Greeks, it's an accounting term. When you do business, you do a transaction, there comes a time whether you put the product on layaway, whether you have installment payments or whatever it is, there comes a time when it's paid in full. So the usage for the Greek is for debt that is owed. And when that debt is paid in full, the Greek will say, tetelestai. The question must be asked this morning, when Jesus made that statement, what debt are we talking about? Bible says, in all of your getting, get understanding. And let me remind all of us that the debt we are talking about that's paid in full is our sin, our mess, our wrongdoings. Am I right about it? Please take note that Jesus was sent to this world on assignment to attend to those dead. The book of Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's a debt that has to be paid. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 through verse 25 says, he came to atone for our sins. That's a debt that has to be paid. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through verse 21, again emphasize what we're talking about. Jesus came, the Bible said, to reconcile sinful men back to God. So now you see clearly the purpose of his coming. You see clearly his assignment on earth. By the way, if I may take a side journey, you also have an assignment here on earth. And the earlier you can find out your assignment, the better for you. You don't want to go through life just making things up. You need to discover your purpose, and you need to live your purpose. Amen? So we find Jesus Christ fulfilling his assignment on earth. He did it so well that when he was on the cross, he began to make statements that confirmed that this assignment has been done. First thing he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Then he said to a gentleman that is so messed up, because he had enough sense to ask for forgiveness, he said, hey, Brother Baba, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Then while he was still on the cross, and his mama, you know how that is, mothers care so much for their children. He looked at his mama, and he said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He gave an assignment to another disciple, take care of my mama. He was still on the cross, taking care of business. Then, while he was in pain, in agony, he made another statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? While he's still going through all that, then he cried out, he said, I thirst. You can just imagine someone hanging on that cross, gasping for air, blood gushing everywhere. And then in the middle of that pain, he said, it is finished. Not saying, I got it started, then you finish it up. Because there are many of you that are trying to play God. Many of you think if you just stop smoking weeds or whatever you mess you're doing, you help Jesus to complete his assignment, or you make heaven because of your good work. But please notice, Jesus didn't say, I got it started, now you finish it. He said, it is finished. That statement is so profound in so many ways. I appreciate the principle of finishing what you started. Because many people start things, but they never finish. Please take note that anybody can start. But it takes someone who is willing to be persistent and consistent and committed to the assignment to finish what was started. Even in the church house, too many people are starters, but they never finish. You ever seen people that will start, they say, you need somebody to sing in the choir? Yes, I'll do it. And then they'll sing for a few weeks. And then all of a sudden, you don't see them no more. People will start a committee. People will start a project. And they will get it started all right. But if you talk to most pastors, you'll find out how many church folks will start and never finish what they started. Why? Because when you get to start something, let me forewarn you, the devil will notice it. And then he will assign more demons to see how serious are you about what you started. So when you see people say, I quit, today I do, tomorrow I don't do, the devil notice when you start, and then the devil turn on the heat. And that's the problem. So there is a danger in starting something and not finishing what you started. If you're not going to finish it, don't start it. To finish means that you start something and you complete the task. By the way, let me mention to you, there are three stages of getting to the finishing line. Number one, obviously, you have to start. Am I right about it? Whether you're running a race, you have to start. Whether you're working on a project, you have to start. Whether you are leading an organization or pastoring a church, or you're the president of a committee or whatever it is, first you have to start. That's the first stage. But there is a second stage called process. You have to go through a process before you go to the final stage of finishing. Please take note, for Jesus Christ to get to Calvary, he had to go through Gethsemane. Gethsemane was part of the process. Gethsemane, ladies and gentlemen, is where you submit to God. You're not qualified to go to Calvary until you pass through Gethsemane. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that many of us want to complete our assignment, but we don't want to go through Gethsemane. How do I know that? That's why you get angry. That's why you get in the flesh. You start operating the flesh. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, you get upset. You let people get on your nerves. Because if you go to Gethsemane, Gethsemane will knock out all of that. Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane, he get a little irritated, you know. He asked some people to pray for him. And they basically were sleeping on him. He was not a happy camper. You all read it, sounds nice, but those of us that study Greek and Hebrew, we know he was pretty upset. Why can't you all watch for me just for 1 hour? I fed you when you're hungry. I healed your mama. I took care of you all these years. You can't invest 1 hour to pray for me? But the Bible said he went back to get some money. And by the time he finished that process, you know what he told them? You can sleep on now. See, when you pass through Gethsemane, people don't bother you no more. Hallelujah. People don't get on your nerves. If you go through Gethsemane, they cannot even find a button to press, to aggravate you. Jesus went to Gethsemane. And then from the Gethsemane, he went to the courthouse. And then from the courthouse, he went to the cross. You can see the process. And now you see why he could say in good faith, it is finished. Somebody shout process. See, that mountain that is standing before you now is part of the process. When you find yourself in the valleys of this life, that's part of the process. The lies they tell on you, that's part of the process. The player haters in your life, that's part of the process. Even the tragedies that we go through sometimes is part of the process. Somebody shall process. Everything you and I have been through in this year 2020 is part of the process. COVID-19, the headache, the lockdown, the oppression, the depression, the stress, process. But if you want to finish, you have to be willing to go through the process. The good news, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you've been through, God is making an announcement to you and me this morning. It is finished. If you don't hear anything else, I have to say, get the revelation of what God is saying to you and me. Whatever you have been through, whatever you have experienced in the process, Jesus, the King of Kings, he is not just a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. And in that authority, he is declaring prophetically to you and me today, it is finished. It means whatever it is completed. It's over. I told my wife, I'm done with it. Why can I say that? Because Jesus said, it is finished. And you look at his record. You made it through last year, didn't you? You made it through January, didn't you? You made it through February, didn't you? You made it through March. You made it through April, you made it through May, you made it through June, you made it through July, you made it through August, and you're still here. Open your mouth, declare, it is finished. No devil can undo what God is doing in your life. Everything you've lost, I hear the Lord say through Prophet Joel, he will restore. Somebody shall finish. Everything the cankerworm stole, everything the locusts have stolen, God said, I will restore it. And if you don't believe me, look at the life of Job. So you ought to be able to say in your spirit, regardless of what you are seeing on television, you can say like Jesus said, it is finished. God's going to save you. God's going to heal you. God's going to deliver you. God's going to elevate you. God's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit. It is finished. What is finished, brother pastor? All sins forgiven. All debts paid in full. Jesus said, it is finished. Many of you, and you've shared with me, every now and then you say, pastor, you just don't know me. I've done so bad. If you only know where I've been, what I've done. But I don't need to know all that. What I need to know, what you need to know, is that Jesus said, your debt, my debt, is paid in full. It is finished. Big sin, little sin, great sins, small sins, secret sin, paid in full. And the Bible says, he that the Son of God set free, he is free indeed. So please stop stressing yourself out. Stop being too hard on yourself. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, in his grace and mercy, sent his only begotten Son. And he stood on that cross and looked at everybody and said, it is finished. Amen, somebody. Please permit me to theologize those three words, because I've noticed as a theologian how God will use trilogy. Notice what he said is a trifold statement. It is finished. Three words. I pay attention closely to what God have to say, because he don't say too much like you and me. Because whatever he say will happen. But he loves to use three words. One for the Father. One for the Son. One for the Holy Ghost. You remember when his disciples were going through the storm, he just said, peace, be still. You remember when his friend got sick and eventually died, he just looked at the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth. Three words. You remember again when a leper approached him and said, if you want to, you can help me, you can clean me. Jesus said, yeah, I want to. And he looked at that man and said, be thou clean. Three words. You remember when that woman with the issue of blood chased him down. And Jesus looked at everybody. He said, who touched me? You cannot be reading the Bible and not pay attention. And now we see him again on the cross. It is finished. Completed. Look at the first word of those three words. It. See, I make a living with words, you know. Lawyers don't have guns. We don't carry 2x4 plumbers. We use words. The first word he said, eat. That includes everything. Whatever it was in your life, you get to define it. But that word eat covers all the basics. Whatever it is that's distracting you from getting to your destiny, whatever that is that is stopping you from receiving your miracle, whatever it is that is stopping you from receiving your healing, whatever it is that is stopping you from receiving your deliverance, Jesus said, it is finished. You got to learn to receive. I believe with all my heart that the problem with many church people is that we have not learned to receive. So I say to you this morning, if your it was rejection, it is finished. If your it was oppression, it is finished. If your it was isolation, it is finished. If your it was persecution, injustice, whatever it is, it is finished. Look at somebody and just tell him or her and say, turn your it to Jesus. Help them again and say, turn your it to Jesus. He can work it out. I said he can work it out. Amen, somebody. He can work it out. Hallelujah. Notice the second word he used is the word is. I like that word. The word is talks about right now. I remember my early years in this church, how I have to constantly correct people and say, no, it's not in the sweet by and by. Right now, he wants to heal you. Right now, he wants to save you. Right now, he wants to bless you. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven before you discover you are rich. Right now, God is blessing somebody. That word is means right now. It's not a statement of past tense. It's not a statement of future tense. The word is talks about now. It speaks of right now. And I believe there are right now miracles for you and me. It means whatever your situation is, it is finished. Whatever your circumstances, it is finished. Whatever your condition is, it is finished. It means there is no delay in your blessing. Is, that word means right now. There is no denial about what God is trying to do in your life. No more hindering, no more interfering, no more blockages, no more obstructions, no more destruction. It is finished. If we can only receive, that means your healing is already done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. I felt it in my soul. Your miracle is already done. Your blessing is already done. Your victory. Have you ever been in a battle? Your victory is already done. Not going to be done. It's done. In Jesus' name. And look at that final word he said. He used the word finish. That word finish. You see, I'm not like you. You're born speaking English. I don't have that luxury. I have to learn English as my second language. And I have to take English grammar exam before I could become U.S. citizen. Many of you don't know that. So words have special meaning to me. I have to pay attention to what I read, what I hear. That word finished means completed, concluded, terminated, accomplished, executed, fulfilled, discharged. I'm done with it. Now look at somebody next to you and just bless it and say, whatever it is, it is finished. Say it like you mean it. Bless that man, bless that woman. Say, whatever it is. Because you never know what people are going through, you know. Look at him or her and say, whatever it is finished. It is settled. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what Jesus did? See, he came. Sin had separated humans from God. So Jesus came and reached out and grabbed the hand of humanity. And then he reached out and grabbed the hand of God. And then he pulled the two. And when he connected the two back together, he said, hello, somebody. It is finished. That in a nutshell is what's going on. God is saying, look, this separation is no more. The Bible said the veil of the temple split wide open. One day I'm going to teach just on that veil because it's not just an ordinary cloth. It's a clothing that is made of many layers. But the power of God ripped it off. Before, people cannot connect to God. Our sins separate us from God. But Jesus took the hand of man and took the hand of God and connected the two. What is finished? Whatever it is, your sin, my sin, your mistake, my mistake, your guilt, my guilt, it is finished. Your depression, my depression. Your low self-esteem, my low self-esteem. Whatever it is. Even poverty, even sicknesses, even disease. It's finished. So the next time you see trouble, don't just accept it. Open your mouth and declare, it is finished. I remember when we were raising young people, little children, and you know how children will get sick every now and then. This scripture always comes to my soul. I say, oh no, not in this house. That is finished also. I don't care if it's just an ordinary allergy. I don't care you hear a little baby just begin to cough. Unusually. Oh no, not in this house. It is finished. He was wounded for our transgression. bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we're healed. That's right, Pastor. We are already healed. The price has been paid. Tell somebody, I am free. Say it like you mean it. I am free. It is finished. Please take note. As long as you accept things that the devil is sending to you, those things will stay in your life. You have to receive this revelation that whatever the devil is trying to throw at you, whatever he's trying to throw at me, I have to learn to say, hey, wait a minute, time out. Jesus took care of that too. It is finished. So tell your sickness, it is finished. Tell your addiction, it is finished. Tell your past, it is finished. Tell any spirit of poverty, it is finished. And when the devil raises ugly head, even when you make mistake, take a step back and say, wait a minute. This is not who I am. It is finished. I'm not going back there anymore. And look at yourself in the mirror and say, self, I'm coming out of this mess. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am blessed. I'm a winner. I am victorious. Self, we're going to make it with God on our side. Every now and then the devil will remind you, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to be loved. The devil will remind you, you don't deserve to be healed. The devil will even remind you, you don't deserve to be delivered of any addiction. Just have the courage to look him in the eyes and say, it is finished. I know who I am. I am a royal priesthood. I am a chosen generation. I am a holy nation. You say, well, I don't act like it. Well, it's not about your acting. It's about what Jesus did. Amen. And somebody may be here, maybe you've had some bad breaks in life. Maybe you've gone through some unfair situation. Maybe life has thrown you a curveball. Will you have the courage today to say it is finished? Don't have a victim mentality. You have to think victoriously. You have to receive what Jesus has done. It's not about what I did or what you did. So right now you have to learn to say to any spirit of self-pity in your life and say, it is finished. Say to poverty, it is finished. Say to lack, it is finished. Say to any form of addiction, it is finished. Say to any form of depression, it is finished. Say to any form of dysfunction, it is finished. Say to any form of delays in your life, you say, no, no, not anymore. It is finished. And you know one thing I love about Jesus Christ? I've got to say this. The Bible said he got himself a chair. This is a true story in the Bible. I just grabbed one of these chairs. In case you don't know, in Israel, they believe that God is actually behind the veil. They also believe behind the veil, nobody stayed there but God. There's no chair there. There's no furniture there. The only thing you see is the Ark of the Covenant and two cherubim. And in the presence of God is right there. Once a year, a priest will come in and make sacrifice on behalf of the people. But he don't stay there. You know why he don't stay there? Because he have to go back to the people. He had to come back the next year. But Jesus, our high priest, after he's been to the cross, the Bible said he went to the Father, got him a nice chair. You know why he can sit down? Because he's finished. And I don't know what you're going through now. You need to calm down. You need to put a smile on your face. You need to receive a simple revelation. It is finished. Your struggle is over. That storm is over. If God said it's finished, it's finished. Now in your spirit, you know what the Bible said that's so profound. He said if you're a child of God, you ought to be seated with Jesus. Woo! We are seated. Don't be struggling. Don't be pacing the floor at night. You are seated with Jesus in heavenly places, far above principalities, far above all this stuff that you're. I pray that you will receive that today. In Jesus' name. I want to invite somebody to Jesus. The reason why we do what we do here is all because of Jesus. When you see us pray, when you see us singing, when you see us shout, when you see us preaching, it's all about Jesus. But what will it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I invite you to Jesus this morning. And if you're not here, you say, well, I'm in my home. How would I do that? There is a number under the screen. Dial that number. There are some ministers of the gospel waiting to pray with you, to rejoice with you because you're making the most important decision in your life. I'm going to invite all of us to prepare ourselves to receive the Holy Communion while the ministers are coming. I want to invite those of you at home, grab you some juice. Get you a cup, a glass of juice. Get, even if all you have, if you don't have crackers, you have some loaves of bread. Use whatever you got. It's the spirit behind it. We want to seal this revelation with our trust in God. Jesus said it's finished. It is finished. Finally, after the communion, I will encourage you to please don't forget to celebrate God in your giving. People always ask me, are you the pastor of that rich church? And sometimes I'll be trying to figure out what do they mean. Because you'll be amazed how many people think only rich people go to this church. But this church is available to everybody. Hallelujah. Whosoever will. But we believe. And if you say we are rich, yes, I won't deny it. We are rich. We are blessed. We are highly favored. You can be a part of that blessing. You say, Pastor, I don't believe in all that rich, all the chandeliers, all the nice building, and all. Where? When you get to heaven, you'll be surprised. We serve a very rich God. The streets are paved with gold. That's somebody who knows how to enjoy life. Hallelujah. His buildings made of pearl. The gates made of jasper. There ain't no cheap palace. I'm grateful to all of you for your giving. I can't wait until we put up that edifice for young people. They ought to have the best. Our God is a good God. He shows how to live. Every now and then when I go into the parking lot and I see all kinds of blessings. I mean Range Rover, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, all kinds of stuff. I say, look at God. He said, did it again. God wants to bless you. How do you get blessed? You have to learn to sow. Sowing is receiving. God gives seed to the sower. That's my prayer for you this morning. That God will increase you with an anointing called running over. More than enough. That's the will of God for you. Amen. Amen. And amen. We're now in the hand of our preachers.
Oh, and it flows.
To the
Praise the Lord. What a blessing it is to fellowship and commune with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Communion. We have something in common. We are unified in the body of Christ. Communion. The great apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter